Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Hello, I'm Mark Chapman, and I'm back with some good news. I'll be hosting the Athletic Football Podcast four times a week. I'll be joined by the likes of Adam Crafton, David Ornstein, Flo Lloyd-Hughes, Matt Slater, and plenty more of the Athletic's brilliant journalists. And together, we'll bring you the best insight into the biggest football stories. So that's every single week, Monday to Thursday. And if you like what we do, then please follow and subscribe to the Athletic Football Podcast in all the usual places.
Welcome to this week's Why Always Us. This is your Manchester City podcast from The Athletic. I'm David Mooney. Sam Lee and Paul Byers are here as usual. Hi, fellas. How you doing?
Hello there.
All good. All good. Enjoying good, the sun.
Good. You can read everything on City and more in The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just go to theathletic.com/ManCityPod and sign up. You get these podcasts without the ads as well. So just sign up at theathletic.com/ManCityPod. Let's start with Erling Haaland at West Ham, because we're going to go straight in with Guardiola after the game. Because he was pretty pleased with Haaland's first game, although he was at pains to point out that people doubted him after the Community Shield. So obviously the question comes in about Guardiola, you must be happy with that performance. This is what he said.
But 1 week ago, he could not adapt in the Premier League. And now he's the best. He's alongside Titi Henry and Alan Shearer and Cristiano Ronaldo. So listen, he came from 5 years. Hopefully he can stay this time and more. And what we want is, when we won alongside like Julian, Scott, Calvin, all the new guys, is be happy. You know, feel good in the city, feel good with the team, and push him a little bit more. So he's a guy with incredible talent, score of goals, because number nine is numbers. But we would like to add something more in his game to be a better player, not just a guy who scored goals, as it's so important. And that's why we want to try give everything to him to be a better player.
So interesting to hear Guardiola's thoughts there, Sam. I mean, first off, he name dropped Scott Carson, which I wasn't expecting. But then, I mean, second off, it's all about improving Haaland. And like, we were expecting him to come in and a lot of fans are expecting him to come in and just take the league by storm. I think it's interesting that they're both talking about improvements.
I mean, my pre-season prediction of all the journalists would go into a press conference saying, he's good, isn't he? And then Guardiola says, actually, we want him to make him a better player. We want him to do more. It came true after like the first Premier League game. And then I was like, so when he said, oh yeah, there's things he can improve on, I was like, oh, ordinarily I would ask that. And to be fair, I should have anyway. But those kind of questions have pissed off Guardiola in the past. Because I think he's looking at it from the point of view of, why are you always looking for like the negative shit? But like, if he says we can still do better at certain things, I want to know what they are, because isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But then somebody did ask him what Haaland can improve anyway, and he was like, well, everything he said himself, which is obviously, it's like a nice little get out of jail free card for Guardiola, isn't it? Because he can say then whatever he, well, not whatever he wants, but he can say a lot of things because Haaland's already said it. And there's no, you know, because I suppose I would be right in saying, well, Guardiola wants him to do this, blah, 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 blah. And it becomes the whole narrative, doesn't it? But he just went, oh, yeah, it was like Haaland said. And he just went back to his unveiling, you know, when he answered Jack's question, like really like earnestly and humbly saying, finishing left foot, right foot, headers, movement, all this kind of stuff.
The headers thing is interesting because we're going to hear a little bit of Haaland speaking to Alan Shearer a bit later on in the show. And he kept coming back to the headers thing, didn't he, in that?
That was the thing. He said Solskjaer told him he couldn't head. Like when he got to Mulder, he was like, Solskjaer told me I couldn't head. And he was like, shit, I agree with you. So they did loads of work on it. And Ahmed, so, I mean, we've obviously had some great additions to the Athletic team over the summer, clearly Paul. But Ahmed Walid, like I've always loved Ahmed's stuff. He used to do tactical stuff for Medium. Now he's doing it for us. And he's already done a tactical article from the City game at the weekend about the fullbacks coming into midfield, and it's great. And I was talking to him, and he was like, one of the things he noticed about Haaland, because he did an article about Haaland the other week, he said, like, genuinely, last season, he noticed a change in Haaland's heading. I think he said he rushes them less. Before, he would kind of rush them and kind of head them, like head the bottom of the ball and head them up. But now he's a bit more composed when it's a header. So you can see that's clearly an ongoing process.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, though, Paul, he did head over his only other chance in the game when Jack Grealish smashed it in his head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Probably that was a proof that he can improve in that. But fair to say that the cross wasn't the best cross, right?
Yeah. It wasn't the easiest to convert.
Yeah,
let's put
it wasn't
that
way. The softest touch.
Yeah. What do you think Guardiola means about generally improving Haaland? Because I mean, ultimately, like Haaland comes in as one of the most complete signings that City have ever had. So, like, how does he get better?
I think it's part of the process of signing a player like Erling Haaland, right? I mean, if you have to convince him to join your club, you have to prove him somehow that you can still improve him and you can make him a better player and he can join a system that he has probably not played before in his life. So it's part of, I mean, the whole process of just Pep wanting a player that wants to improve, that wants to be better and convincing him that he's the right man to do it. So I guess, yeah, that's the thing that he uses to convince himself and Haaland that he and City can be a good fit and that he still have room to improve and things to do.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Haaland himself. It was interesting that Guardiola mentioned Shearer because he spoke to Haaland for The Athletic before Sunday's game. Here's a clip from that interview, starting with how Haaland deals with pressure.
In the end, we just want to enjoy playing football, enjoy what we want, what our childhood dream was, you know. And of course, there will be people talking about you, especially you as a striker. You don't score this, you don't score that, you know, then the talks come. But in the end, you cannot choose what people say, what people read, what people think about you. This is something you just have to live with. And I kind of enjoy it, I have to say. Yeah.
When I went down to Southampton as a youngster, I was by no means the best footballer. But I think I worked harder than anyone else, particularly on my finishing. So if we can talk about goals, can you sort of describe what scoring a goal means to you, particularly at the top level?
Yeah, it's a good question, because when I score a goal, it's this feeling, you know.
Is there anything better?
No, I don't think it is,
you
know, because when you, it doesn't matter the goal, when you score a goal, it's just something inside you that's...
You always had that feeling.
Yeah, always. You know, when I was younger, scoring as many as I could. And still, you know, it's this feeling. And also this kind of when you celebrate your first goal, it's like, oh, this I want to do again, you know? I get this often, you know, scoring one. Oh, imagine doing this again, you know? And also this thought about, you know, let's say, for example, you see someone score a hat-trick on Saturday. Oh man, it would be nice to do this next week, you know. Yeah.
And you've mentioned the incredible feeling of scoring goals. We both know what it likes to miss chances as well. I mean, sorry to bring last weekend up, but I know when I miss chances, I didn't sleep at night. I didn't sleep for that night, for the next night, and I couldn't wait to start the next game again so I can rectify and put that right. Is that what you feel as well? I mean, particularly after missing one last weekend, we all do it. It happens to us all.
Yeah, it's when I look back at it, it's like, how can you miss there? You know, it's like this, but you know that this will probably happen to me again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this will happen, and that's football. And then it's about, as you say, you don't sleep well. Mm. I never sleep good after games, but it's also kind of motivation to score or to do something in the next game after, you know, when you miss something like this. And this is also when you score two goals, oh, I want to do it again.
Yep,
so absolutely. It's actually, no matter what happens, it's motivation, and that's what also is good about it, you know. But of course, it's not a good feeling. It's the worst feeling ever, you know.
I would never admit this when I was in your position at 22, but is there a part of you that if your team's won but you haven't scored, there's a little bit of disappointment there?
That depends, but...
that's a yes then.
Now the game is a bit different. So now it's, in the end, it's about winning, and it's so much more about goals as well. You know, about playing, and of course, don't forget the assists. This is really important. Yeah. You know,
I know when I was your age, and people asked me this question, and I always said no, I didn't have any targets at all. But I did. I had a target of about 20 goals. Once I got to 20 goals, have you got any targets?
I have the answer exactly the same as you. As you said, this is something I. If I have, I will keep it for myself, and I will not tell anyone.
You can read the full interview between Alan Shearer and Erling Haaland on The Athletic right now. Paul, what do you make of how Haaland speaks there? Because the attitude thing, it's this almost this feeling of needing to correct mistakes that he's made. It feels like a big part of him.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like he's a guy that he doesn't allow himself to miss. He doesn't allow himself like to not score a goal, just to waste a good chance. So, I mean, it's kind of good. I think that deep down, Pep loves that. I think that it's worth it as well to point out that Pep did that comparison with Messi after the post-game against West Ham, saying that he had the pleasure to coach Messi and that Messi was a guy that when he scored the third goal, he wanted to score the fourth one, and he could relate Haaland to that. So probably that's a bit how it is. And I think, that this is good news for City and good news for a team that having this kind of mentality inside the dressing room, I think that can only have like positive effects.
Yeah, Sam, the other side of it, the positive feeling that comes with scoring goals, as Paul mentioned there, about the desire to kind of feel that again, like that, you can see how that drives his hunger to just keep improving, I guess.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to a lot of what I heard in that and read in that interview. Kind of reminded me of when I went to where we grew up, and just that kind of, because obviously he kind of channeled it badly at that point, because if he wasn't doing what he wanted or it didn't go his way, he was like really like fucked off, basically just like really pissed off, like would get in arguments, I suppose, and just whatever. But now he channels it in that way, just to always be better, and go and get another goal, like he was saying, like we heard. You score one, you want to go and get another. Or you score two and you think, I want to go and do that next week. I think, did he even say, you see a player, you see somebody else scoring a hat-trick,
yeah,
you think, I want to go and do
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just this incredible drive that he's had since he was young. And I remember one of the coaches said he always used to say he wanted to be better than his dad, which is no surprise now, because anyone who's read or watched anything, even like the stuff that City have put out, they say it all the time, don't they? Like, or like Erling has said it all the time. He always wants to be better than his dad. But that was something that I first heard in Norway, and he was saying it like when he was really, really young. So he's always got this kind of drive. And I just guess it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, we take the piss out of Diaz for like the social media posts. But like in terms of his actual drive and application, it's just on another level that we could never comprehend. And this is obviously the case with Haaland, and obviously he's got the physical and mental and technical attributes to match, and it's a scary combination.
Yeah, I mean, he's one goal short of his dad's goal tally for City. So he's doing all right in his first game.
Yeah, and he'll be three ahead of it by Sunday or something like that.
Yeah. Paul, is Guardiola the perfect manager for him in that sense? Because like it's almost ideal given that it feels like Guardiola's an obsessive about getting the best out of players and Haaland feels like an obsessive about getting the best out of himself.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it can be plus... being Pep a man that probably can take him out to a new place, to like take him out like from his comfort zone, put him like on a different system with a different idea, and to make Haaland like understand how he has to fit with it, basically. I think that given like the drive and the ambition that he has, it's going to be like a good thing for him because he's going to learn and he's going to, basically he's going to become a better player. I think that he was quite right in terms of like, on this interview with Alan Shearer. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get like his full potential like in 10 years, but I think that he's going to keep developing and like in every year he's going to rely more on his tactical knowledge or on his sense for the whole game rather than his physicality, which for now, for me, is the most impressive thing that you see about him on the pitch. Just like on the first goal when he could like just speed up on like 20 metres to get that penalty, that was kind of awesome. So I think that for now, probably his biggest quality or the biggest impact that he has is on his exuberance, like on his physicality. But with the pass of time, it can get like his understanding of the game.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm interested how their relationship will develop as well, because I've listened to this. This is Guardiola from after the game talking about what he liked about the striker's performance and about getting to know the striker as well.
Listen, I don't know him much because we are 2 weeks, no, 1 month together, 3 weeks, 1 month together. So we need time in the good moments, bad moments, how we react in the situations and how he handled. I know how he handled a lot of criticism this week, and he was really calm, trained really well. We will see when he grab a compliment how he react. We will see. But the way he took the ball to take a penalty, I said, oh, I like it. So one direct, and I think if someone go to take this ball, he will punch in the faces of his mates. I'm pretty sure of that. And that is a good signal because it's about, you know, you have to be self-confident, ambition, and good mentality. And that showed me I like it. So, and of course, he scored it.
You felt a little bit bad for not letting him get the hat trick, the way the game was going.
I don't care. The hat trick, I won't win the game. And Julian deserves to play. And many games, maybe he's not going to play because I want everybody involved in that. So he has a business, and business score goals. I don't see the numbers. If the goals helps to win the game, it's perfect. If goals is going to score, help us to win the Premier League or be in there, be consistent like we were in the last, you know, 4 Premier Leagues in 5 years, it's okay. So what I want is be part of something, you know. I'm so incredibly happy for him, you know, 2 goals, the debate is over. And I know he's going to score the goals, not because he's here, not because he's with us, it's because he was born and he started to score a goal. So he did it in Salzburg, he did it in Dortmund, and hopefully can do it here.
Sam, I don't know about you, but I got you know that kind of old dating premise, treat him mean, keep him keen sort of thing. That's what I got from the substitute thing there, because Haaland was saying in his interview about when you score the first, you want to score the second. And then Guardiola says about the hat-trick, I don't care.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's the way to kind of keep that fire going. Like, you want a hat-trick, do you? Well,
Off you come.
better work hard. Wait until next week. Probably was. It's quite funny. Like, I don't know. There was probably an element of Guardiola's answer of, oh, don't fucking question my substitute again. You know, when he's like, I don't care. Shut up. Don't ask me. I don't care. But I suppose it's kind of, it all had to be done, didn't it? Manager's minutes, get the other lads on. I mean, the use of five substitutes was interesting. And it's really good for City, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Calvin Phillips can get extra minutes, look, a few. But he wouldn't have got them probably before Palmer can get on. Like, he probably wouldn't have got those minutes as well. Like, yeah, it's really handy. But yeah, bringing Haaland off, considering they were, you know, they were being careful with him in training 3 weeks ago with the niggles, makes complete sense.
Yeah,
but I'm sure he'll be wanting more on the weekend.
Yeah, Paul, Guardiola's always had a big thing about attitude and application of players. You can always see it, I think, in his answers in press conferences when he likes that in a player, and I think you can see it here, can't you?
Yeah. I think you can, and I think that Haaland has that. I think that Julian Alvarez has that as well. And now that we were speaking like about the substitution, I think that Pep was quite quick to reply that, or to answer in their questions, that Julian deserved to play and that he wanted to make Julian play because he's training so good, because he wants to have him like switch on with the squad. So I guess that this is the thing that Pep wants to reward, this attitude, this approach in training and in games. And yeah, I think that Haaland has it. It was interesting as well to say to hear Pep saying that he saw Haaland, how he was after handling like a week of criticism after the Community Shield. And now he's going to see how he reacts after a week of like huge plaudits, basically. So yeah, that's another interesting angle from his answers.
How much criticism was there, actually? Like, I know there was a couple of things. I know there was like, there's probably one article that every City fan would like tell me specifically, but I won't mention it for like diplomatic reasons. I think it's this kind of, so go on, mate, what do you reckon?
No, it can get worse in terms of criticism if the season doesn't go well,
like,
for him.
I think it's, and this isn't one of those things where I'm like, oh, the media's been absolutely fine, because like I say, there's definitely one article where people were like, you know, it wasn't a great performance or whatever, and maybe in terms of like the discussions during the week on the radio or the TV or whatever, was like, oh, you know, how's it going to go, blah, blah, blah. And it's more of a talking point. Like when we did the podcast last week, I was like, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to make it a talking point kind of thing. Even by saying, he's fine, don't worry about it, it kind of rolls it along. But it wasn't that bad.
It legitimizes it, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Like, I kind of think, it's half of it just these kind of meme and betting accounts that kind of get conflated with the media now. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. Like, I'm not saying the media's perfect, but this has nothing to do with us.
Yeah,
like, yeah, but...
Odds Bible has fuck all to do with... the media, you know what I mean? But I suppose it's all part of the pressure, I guess, for a footballer.
I think that the bottom line of the game, of the Community Shield, was like the Liverpool of Darwin Nunez won the game, and the Man City of Erling Haaland lost the game with Erling Haaland missing three chances. So that was probably like the headline in some match report and something like that, and that's what they can understand like as criticism, basically.
He wants to wait until they go out of the Champions League in the quarterfinals.
yeah.
Just you wait.
Yeah. More to come, isn't there? I must admit, there's a friend of mine. You know, when I posted my, I asked a few people about my fantasy league selection, and you said it felt quite good and quite balanced. There was somebody who told me that not to put Haaland in because the quote was, he's a fraud, mate. And I've just waited on that. I've just waited on that until after the weekend's game, just to kind of, you know, how you can now like reply on WhatsApp with a reaction.
I mean, I would have replied with that reaction fucking immediately.
Just give it a little like to keep things ticking over. Plenty will look at Haaland's display from the weekend and basically say, oh, it's what City have been missing all these, you know, this last couple of years. Maybe Guardiola looks at it about how both he and how about Haaland and how the team can kind of complement each other. And again, Sam, it just reminds me of all those conversations we were having about Aguero in 2016.
Yeah. It definitely looked complimentary, didn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of like the link-up play, because that's the kind of thing we've dwelt on as well. We've talked about, you know, how the little passes, how are they going to work? But they were like, they're all absolutely fine. You know, maybe there's some kind of small elements of finesse where it can improve that I can't appreciate from seeing it. But I mean, if we're just going to go as basic as like pass accuracy, he didn't have, he had the fewest touches of all the City players, and the fewest passes, probably the fewest touches as well. But like, basically, 80% of those would have been the kind of thing we're looking out for, like ball into feet from a midfielder or a centre back.
Yeah.
Are you going to be accurate with it? And he had like 93% accuracy. So like that, it all went really well. Just one thing I thought about the game, and this is just part of it being like the first game of the season. And I know people were like, people obviously think or know that City don't always start the season so well. And obviously West Ham had 7 friendlies before compared to like City's 3, including the Community Shield. And you think, God, you know, they might be much fitter. City might not be ready. So it was obviously never going to be perfect, but it was very good. But part of the not perfect element, it did kind of, I did think during the second half, I was like, if it hasn't been for Haaland, it doesn't look like anyone else is scoring. And it's not because nobody else looks sharp. Obviously, De Bruyne had dragged one wide and Gundogan had that chance at the back post, which was just a bad finish. But it was just like, everything was geared towards giving Haaland chances, wasn't it? So it was almost like, one thing that needs to work better is the overall balance. Because in the first half, there was just crosses into the box that he couldn't get on the end of because they're either very close or just not close enough. In the second half, it was like they were all just going for him. So I remember Foden was running with the ball, kind of cutting in from the right. And he had Grealish open to the left, but he kind of tried to slip in Haaland. And I completely understand why you're trying to slip in Haaland. But it was like, okay, it's the first game of the season. You're trying to give it to the new boy. He's already got one, possibly two. And you just know he's going to score it if he gets it. But that is the pass. Like, Grealish was the pass there.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just finding that balance. So while we talk about him fitting in with the team and being complimentary and stuff, there's the other element as well, where it's like the rest of the team kind of need to remember to work with each other, which I'm sure they will. And well, like they genuinely 100% will. But I just thought it was interesting from the weekend as something that hasn't really been talked about, that he was basically all of the threat, which is obviously good in that game, but you know, it can't be that way forever.
Yeah. Well, let's pull back a little bit, Paul, and talk about the team setup rather than just how Haaland slotted into it.
Yep.
Because there was something a bit new in what Guardiola did to beat West Ham. In previous years, they've struggled with West Ham, especially on the counter-attack through the middle. So Walker and Cancelo both made like a blocking three with Rodri to stop that and get City's midfielders a bit higher up when in possession. Here's what Guardiola said after the game about his assessment of the fullbacks, basically.
Today, Kyle Walker was exceptional, maybe one of the best games he had played in the last since we were together, because it's not just defensive. He was partying, always I encourage you are good, play with the ball, you are talent to do it. And with Joao, was of course Joao when his focus is all guys were brilliant. We didn't concede much and we make in the right rhythm to play, and of course now we have a threat with Erling.
And I think more interesting, though, was this from West Ham manager David Moyes after the game in his press conference. Basically, he was asked for his assessment of the game. This is what he said.
The change from last year, we played well against them here a few weeks ago and gave them a better game, but we found it very hard today. Tactically, they changed. They nearly Walker and Cancelo nearly played either side of Rodri, played with no full-backs. We found it hard to outnumber them in the middle of the pitch. Then we found it difficult when they got it wide. We found it difficult to cope when they got it wide. So today, tactically, they were much better, and we hadn't prepped for that because we hadn't really seen it. But today, it was really difficult tactically to deal with them.
Can I just ask you, at the end of first half, they had 82% possession.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could have, stamp of advancing differently to maybe reduce that possession?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to have done that, yeah. Have you got an idea? No, you think we don't work on that, pressing high up? So I've got to say, look, we tried to do it. We couldn't get near them today. I hope the next time we play them, as we've done it, I might be able to offer something better. But today we weren't.
Do you think that was such a big issue? City was so different with Haaland that previous preparation.
No, I didn't say they were different because of Haaland. I said they were different because of where they played. Both their fullbacks today, both their fullbacks played nearly either side of Rodri, which caused us a bigger problem. They nearly outnumbered us in midfield. We couldn't get on the ball. And then when we brought our players in to try and cope with them, then they got the ball out to Foden or Grealish and got some width. So that's how I saw it.
So you think that was So it basically meant that any time you've previously prepared City, it didn't really count today?
No, well, you always know that, you know, over the years they've always brought one full-back in and tucked in. So it was Sinchenko last year quite often. But the two of them played in there today and made it really difficult to outnumber us. So tactically they were good. We tried to alter it at half time a little bit to see if we could, as you said, get some more possession back off them. We tried that and it got a little bit better, to be fair, for a little while until they got the second goal. But today the talk should be about Man City. They played very well.
Paul, I think that's fascinating. A really fascinating assessment of how Guardiola set up. I've never seen that before, the way he did it.
I think probably I'm gonna disappoint you with that, but I think that it's something that they already tried at the beginning of last season, at the Community Shield and against Tottenham away, if I'm not wrong. Mendy was playing there, probably he wasn't like the best suited for that. Plus, I think that the team was still far from the best form, and back then, I think that Pep decided to give it a go and just try with Cancelo dipping into midfield, and it panned out pretty well at the end of the season. But clearly, he sees some potential in that because he has come back to that. I think that to have this kind of tactic working, you need like the two fullbacks being brave and being good, and I think that's why he praised Kyle Walker a lot, because Kyle Walker, I think that he was very brave, and Pep is kind of happy with those kind of behaviors in his players, basically. Because if you have to list Kyle Walker's best qualities, ball distribution is probably not there. You would point out like the pace or just how he marked on the 1-1. But Kyle Walker just pushed himself to be like an extra midfielder and to drive the ball up and to do it like on the best possible way, which is kind of brave, and it's just putting himself in service of the team, and that's why Pep was happy. But yeah, it's something that I think that Pep has seen from I don't know if he's still Shakhtar manager, but the Italian De Zerbi. He used to do something like that with Shakhtar. And yeah, as I was saying, Pep tried to do it at the beginning of last season. It wasn't like successful. But now this season with Joao Cancelo more like consolidated into the team, I think that he is a player that helps a lot in that, because with the ball, he's like an extra midfielder. He has the quality to do anything he wants. And yeah, in that regard, when the plan works, it's difficult for a team that is not expecting that just to control it, because apart from the two fullbacks, I think that it's worth it to point out how good Foden and Grealish were as like those kind of fake wingers that were almost fullbacks when they wanted to get the ball. So yeah, something interesting, and yeah, something that shows how Pep the overthinker keep just trying just to look for the best option just to improve the team and just to keep being unpredictable.
Yeah, Sam, I was going to say, only have two senior fullbacks. It doesn't make any difference if you don't play fullbacks, does it?
No, I suppose it doesn't. The other thing I want to add to that is a guy called Theo on Twitter sent me a link earlier to a video kind of analysing Guardiola's Bayern tactics from 2 years ago. And in terms of that 2-3-5, it was exactly the same. The video probably spends about 5 or 6 minutes analysing it, and off the ball was slightly different. When City didn't have the ball, it was a slightly different shape to what was in the video. But on the ball, it was exactly the same as what we saw on Saturday. And what Moyes was saying, you know, when we tried to go out wide and then they had space in the middle, so we tried to close in the middle and they had space out wide, so tactically they were better. That is exactly what is in this video. Like, it's uncanny. So that 2-3-5, it's definitely been done before by Guardiola at Bayern. As Paul says, yeah, there were bits of it last season. I remember, I think I said it on the podcast, that was when I was in the stands and Laporte and the Spanish lads were just back from their, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they were later back. So they were in the stands and I was talking to somebody about it, and Laporte kind of turned around and he was like, yeah, so look, if Mendy comes inside, it opens up that passing route out to the wing. And then and that's how it was. So yeah, they did it then. And also, obviously, that Zabaleta in like the first game, the home, was it the first Guardiola Premier League game, Sunderland at home?
Yeah, I remember seeing. I couldn't remember if it was Zabaleta or Sanya, but I certainly remember Clichy popping up, yeah, kind of like in the middle alongside it, probably in Fernando or something. God, these are names, yeah, that are from the past, aren't they? But still, I remember the mid
2010s bin.
Just remember them kind of popping up in the center of the pitch, going, "What on earth is going on here? It doesn't feel right." Like watching it, it feels uncomfortable to watch it. God knows what it's like to play against.
To play with, because obviously it's not easy, and it goes back to what Paul was saying about praising Kyle Walker for being exceptional, because yeah, that's not the game, and I don't think, you know, we're going to see that too often. There's no way he's doing that against Liverpool, but he did the job he had to do, and he did it very well. And yeah, it was kind of, it looked very new, but it was definitely like recycled, and also it was the same aim as they always want, like control the counter-attacks by having loads of men in the middle, keep the ball as often as possible. It just absolutely killed West Ham. Like the first 10 minutes of the second half, the atmosphere was just dead because they couldn't do anything. Like Moyes said, they had no answer. And again, in the press conference when he was like, if you've got any ideas, then great. But obviously it helped them keep that five men across, you know, strung out across the defence, which is great when you're playing against like a low block. The fact that they had space in the middle if they needed it, on the outside if they needed it, they knew how to get that space outside with the switches of play. Yeah, it was perfect. Like it was the same old City in a way that looked completely new, but in a way that was actually recycled. It was very interesting.
Paul, do you think this will be a more regular thing? Because like, as much as we have seen it before, I guess my reaction that it's something that I've never seen before is because it was almost in the extreme. We have seen fullbacks come in and occupy those positions. But you think back to that first season, as we were talking about with Zabaleta, Sanya, Clichy, that they kind of reverted to more natural fullbacks as the season went on. Last season, like you say, they might have started with it, but it certainly wasn't the predominant way they played towards the end of the season. Is it something that we could see a lot more, do you think, this year?
I'm not sure if it's going to be like week in, week out. Probably, it looks to me probably more of a way to unsettle teams that don't hesitate to defend on a low block when they have to, which has been the case of West Ham the last times that City has played at West Ham's stadium. But yeah, I mean, as long as the team like looks better prepared to do that, I think that it's just a resource that Pep is going to take when he finds it possible. But as Sam was saying, I have the feeling that if they have to play Liverpool, Pep wouldn't afford to have Kyle Walker in there. And that's no disrespect to Kyle Walker, because of course he was brilliant
were times when it was like, yeah, they need somebody way more effective on the ball in that area. But he did the job. But for that take, fine.
But if you're playing against, I don't know, Fabinho and Henderson and Luis Diaz that are like really good at pressing out, you probably want Bernardo Silva there instead of Kyle Walker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you probably get a bit more of a natural setup in that sense. Paul, do you think having Haaland there now allows Guardiola to surprise opposition coaches a bit more? Because he can do different things, knowing that you know he's got that focal point at the top of the pitch.
Maybe, but I kind of agree with David Moyes here that the surprise that the X factor was the fullbacks playing in a not normal way. Not Erling Haaland. But what I really believed, especially like after seeing the second goal, is that for Haaland, probably it's going to be like important to have this first goal of every game just to be scored by City, because just to have the lead will open like spaces to run on the counter attack. That probably if you're 0-0, he's not going to find them out. I think that now one of the best qualities that Haaland has is the amount of meters that he can run like in a short space of time. And if he has like a space to run, which is going to come out when City is on top of the score sheet, basically most of the time, I think it's going to be a good sign for him.
Yeah, Sam, I didn't use this from Moyes in the end, but he said that he felt the pass should have been cut out from De Bruyne to Haaland, that set up the second goal. And I guess it kind of feeds into what Paul's saying there, in that West Ham have to start taking a few more chances to try and get anything out of the game. But it just kind of it shows the amount of control that City had. And it's weird because it came at a time when I really felt like City were losing control on the game as well. They started giving a few balls away. West Ham started to grow into it a little bit. And then suddenly, as soon as that happened, bang, City hit them on the counter-attack and the game was over.
Yeah, I mean, it's genuinely going to be a thing. You know, Guardiola talked about we still need to go right to left to right, and, you know, be patient. But now we have a new weapon, in his words, with this ball. And when the opposition defense is high and we have open space, our guys need to find him. So it's definitely something that's going to happen. But, and I mean, I should have mentioned this in my article on Haaland, because I know if you put any kind of, I don't know, perceived negativity on it, it's like, oh, what are you talking about? But Kurt Zouma couldn't move for about 15 minutes before that. Did you see how he was limping around the pitch? And Haaland kind of ran off Ben Johnson, who's a fullback, playing at centre-back. So it was kind of a fairly forgiving situation. But that's not to say that it won't happen again and again, because I'm sure it will. I'm sure, well, it just will. You know, mostly it will be De Bruyne, but there's plenty of others capable of finding him with that pass. It's a new weapon. It's going to work. But yeah, in terms of it being cut out, you know, West Ham didn't have the best two centre-backs to deal with it. And yeah, I don't know in what sense he's thinking it could have been cut out otherwise, but, you know, that's why he's not, well, that's why when he's asking journalists for suggestions, he's not being entirely serious.
Yeah. let's finish with a quick look at kind of other areas of the pitch, because I think you've both mentioned on this podcast Grealish and his performance. Guardiola was quite happy with it. There's been criticism from, I think, like, his first season wasn't kind of, City fans weren't exactly, they were split on his first season. There's been criticism of his performance for not really being as involved as people had hoped. What did you make of it? Because like he had this thing with, was it, Sam, you've mentioned Odds Bible before. Was it Sports Bible that he called out on Twitter this week? So like there's from inside the club, the noises are pretty good. And I thought, certainly from the reaction on Twitter, I watched a different Jack Grealish on Sunday to everybody else, because I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know Guardiola did the, he praised his performance and he was like, oh, he attracted the players and created space for others, which is, it sounds like one of those things when you're trying to put a positive spin on something. And look, I guess everybody wants him to go and, not least Guardiola and not least Grealish, everybody wants him to go and, you know, take a few minutes on and then score or get an assist. But I think it's coming. And look, we talked about the tactical setup and got Kyle Walker doing a job for the team that he's not necessarily used to doing. It's the same with Grealish. Obviously, he's had a year of, okay, you're running this ball down the channel and giving it to somebody else, and then they're going to do something with it. Like, but this it's not the Grealish that people are used to seeing. But he fulfilled his role at the weekend, like, or better than, like, every City player who had to fulfill their role and make the certain movements. And oh yeah, there were times when he kind of used that Jack Grealish pace and acceleration to get past people, and it was exciting, and he worked well in tandem with Gundogan. Again, if you watch that video I mentioned earlier on that Theo sent me on Twitter, which I'll retweet, he worked in tandem with, well, not in tandem, what's the three version of tandem? He worked well with Gundogan and Cancelo on the left. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say it was a blockbuster performance. But I thought it was good, and I'm still thinking there'll be plenty more to come. But if we are going to talk about kind of under the radar blockbuster performances, then Rodri was excellent. He was
Rodri and Gundogan, both of them.
Yeah.
In my opinion, were excellent.
Yeah, I've just Googled it, Sam. I literally put in what's the three version of tandem. Tandems can have more than two riders. Tandems refer to the arrangement of the riders, one behind the other, rather than the number of riders. So it would still be in tandem, yeah.
Stephen Fry over here. I can't mention Alan Davis, can I, on a City podcast?
No, it's not a good idea. Paul, you mentioned Rodri and Gundogan. There was worries, I think, pre-match that Bernardo hadn't started, that it indicated that he might be off to Barcelona. I think that's possibly, you know, like when you're reading a book and you turn over two pages at once and then suddenly it doesn't make any sense. I think that's kind of what's happened there. Because in terms of a tactical setup, Rodri and Gundogan were perfect for the game, weren't they?
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, for what I hear and from what I get, I think it was more of a tactical change. Just to give Gundogan the chance to play. When we went to this when City made like this event that that they presented this documentary that is coming out now, that there are, I think, two chapters out. In the unveiling of the first chapter, there was Gundogan in there, and he explained that on the Villa game, after the Villa game last season, he was like, he was feeling really, really disappointed for not starting in that game. So as long as we picture Gundogan as a good guy who never complains and stuff, he, of course, he has this ambition to play, and he wants to play, and he wants to be involved like on the action and in Pep plans. And I think that Pep knows that, and he wanted basically just to involve him, because I guess that he has been training fine, and probably he wanted some change regarding the game against Liverpool. And I think that Gundogan proved the point. I mean, last season probably wasn't his best one with a City shirt, but there's still a lot of football that he can offer. And I think that we have praised a lot Haaland, and on the penalty, it's kind of impressive the just how fast he can run to win that penalty. But the pass from Gundogan is great as well, and the way that Gundogan played was amazing as well. So yeah, a big shout out for him, and just for Rodri as well, who was as well one of the players that was maybe a bit criticized after the Liverpool game, because he wasn't probably that on point as we used to see Rodri. But again, we probably saw the best center midfielder that Pep can have in a team in world football right now.
Yeah. I just want to, while we're talking about these two as well, Sam, I've just remembered that moment where Gundogan seemed to disappear for a second.
Yeah, I need to see that again. I watched back like 50 minutes of a game this morning, but yeah, in the second half where he just turned through.
A gap that wasn't there, phenomenal.
That
incredible. Shout out as well to Rodri doing something similar in midfield, where he stepped around a challenge. So maybe that's a feature to come for this season. Right, well, that brings us to an end of this week's Why Are Wizards. Thank you as ever to Sam Lee.
Thank you very much.
And to Paul Bias.
Thanks a lot.
Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code ManCityPod.
The Athletic.